coaching session number 8. TMI is, it's fairly universal, I think. It stands for too much information, and it happens all the time. It happens at social gatherings. It happens on social media. It happens in texting. And it also happens at work, where it can be devastating. Okay, let's eliminate what you may be thinking. I'm not talking about those personal, intimate details people often share, resulting in us holding up our hands and saying, whoa, 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 too much information. If I have to tell you how inappropriate it is to discuss really personal details at work, then we need to go back to square one and begin again. It's not proper to talk about everything at work. It's certainly not proper to share everything at work, especially intimate details of your life or of anybody else's personal life. Listen, as a client, I'm not terribly worried about you doing this because you wouldn't have likely gotten this far by failing to control yourself and your discussion points at work, even in social settings around the office. However, even grizzled veterans sometimes, in a momentary lapse of judgment, can say things or ask things that get them in trouble. So guard your tongue. No, I'm not talking about TMI as we normally think about it, personal details that we sometimes share that make other people feel uncomfortable. I'm talking about work issues that we wrongly share. You can wrongly share work information in three ways, well, maybe a combination of them. A, you can share things you shouldn't share with anybody. B, you can share things you shouldn't share right now. C, you can share things you shouldn't share with that person. Timing, the person being told, and the fact that it was you who told it, those can have a horrible impact on your career. And on the career of other people, too. It's lonely at the top. You're a leader, else we wouldn't be working together. That means you've got direct reports and a level of responsibility weightier than the average bear at your workplace. It also means that you have to understand and exercise discretion. Discretion is defined as the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. The quality of having or showing discernment or good judgment. The quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid social embarrassment or distress. Now, let me expound on these dictionary definitions a little bit. Discretion is the quality of not revealing information that may impede the performance of your employees or direct reports. That's worth repeating. Discretion is the quality of not revealing information that may impede the performance of your employees or direct reports. Yes, that means sharing things with them that may not serve them well. It means keeping some things to yourself. And that's why the cliche, it's lonely at the top, is trite but true. It is lonely as a leader, especially when you have to keep your mouth shut in order to enhance the performance of your direct reports. Well, I would never lie to my people, you might be thinking. Listen, you should never lie to your people. I'll go further and encourage you to never lie to anybody. However, just because you know something or think something doesn't mean you should tell it. And if you think that's lying, then I have no earthly idea how you got this far in your career being that stupid. Call me immediately and fire me, because I'm sure I'm not going to be able to help you. Too often leaders forget their pledge of loneliness. Let me put it into terms that you'll likely understand. When you were growing up, did your parents sit down and tell you all the problems they were suffering? I don't care if they had marriage problems, financial problems, or something else. As a child living at home, were you in the loop on those kinds of things? For years, I've asked this, and I've grown increasingly jaded, worried that somebody would pipe up and say, yes, they did. Well, thankfully, so far that has not happened, and I hope you're not going to break my streak and be the first to tell me, yes, as a child, my parents told me all about their marriage problems. They told me all about their financial woes. I don't care if you're a parent or not. You surely understand the wisdom of parents who protect, there's the word, who protect their children from such information. It's quite literally too much information for a child to be burdened with. It serves no useful purpose to put such things on children. It's selfish on the part of the parent who would dare do such a thing. Well, it's selfish when you do it too. Leaders often share things they should not because they lack self-control. They're too friendly with staff members. They don't maintain professional distance. They're selfish and self-centered. They don't see themselves as protectors and guardians. They're lonely. Okay, yeah, there are likely many other reasons that you can think of, but this list encompasses most of the ones that I commonly see. Okay, true confession. No, this won't be TMI, I promise. I rarely sit down with team members within weeks of initial engagement without unearthing some rather important TMI-related issue. It's remarkable to me how frequently this erupts into something under the surface, something the leader never intended. People are told things, sometimes in confidence, and the information begins to destroy their ability to do good work. They become preoccupied with these things. I have seen it even destroy their ability to work, period. And people will say to me, I wish he had never told me that. Or they might even ask, why would he tell me that? Well, I don't gloss over it, but I don't go through that list above either and tell them all the reasons why their boss is an idiot and did these things. Listen, I know leadership is lonely, and I know that a leader's credibility is always, and I mean always, on the line. The last thing I want to do is undermine your leadership if you've been guilty of TMI in the workplace. Because I do owe these people a bit of guidance and help, I usually answer these people with honesty about how we're all people who feel the need to share. I mean, come on, increasingly with social media and smartphone technology, man alive, we're compelled to share more and more. And that means sometimes we share more than we should, even without thinking about it, even without understanding the real consequences of it. And we can all relate to that. Then I encourage them to deal with how this TMI has negatively impacted their work by letting me mediate a conversation about it. And sometimes they prefer to go it alone, and they prefer to talk directly with my coercion in private with the leader. That'd be you. Other times they're reluctant. They're reluctant to even let me help. But so important is this information, I typically refuse to let up until I can gain agreement that this needs to be handled, that there needs to be a meeting of the minds between the direct report and the leader when TMI has happened and it's impacting the work. I know you mean well, but number one, you cannot discuss the poor work or weaknesses of employees with other employees. There are countless variations of this, but you must be on guard that you refuse to poor mouth people behind their back. This is especially true when you're dealing with a peer group. For instance, you have six direct reports. Casually, in some impromptu meeting with two of them, you say something about a third member of the team who's not in this meeting. It's not flattering. You don't think anything of it until you begin to notice there's a sour attitude that person who you pointed a finger at. And you may not even remember saying it. You certainly aren't thinking that either of your two reports who heard the comment went and ran to that person and told them. Yeah, guess what? On all counts, you're wrong. I know you mean well, but number two, you cannot reveal possible changes that might negatively impact a person. The operative term here is possible. This is so common that I have labored for years with trying to figure out why leaders do it. And so far, I have to tell you, I don't have any million-dollar insights on this, other than they're trying to see how the person might react. That's not a good enough reason to do it. Let me explain. A senior vice president of a division, let's say, is sitting in your office. He's a direct report to you. You happen to know that HQ is giving serious thought to eliminating his position within that division and reassigning him elsewhere. It hasn't been decided yet, but you decide you're going to send up a test balloon by talking about it. And you try to couch your words really carefully. Hey, this is your inner signal that you're making a big mistake. And as you discuss it, he grows increasingly uneasy in his chair, and he begins to ask questions that, well, any sane person would. Now you're uneasy in your chair, and you begin to crawfish and backpedal. And the meeting ends, and here's my question to you. What good have you done? None. You've now stepped in a pile of crap that's going to hurt your employee, you, and the entire operation, all because you just had to tell him what might happen. Now, here's the explanation that I often get. Well, don't you think they deserve to know? My answer is no, they don't deserve to know. For starters, they don't deserve to know hypotheticals or possibilities unless they're on the leadership team making those decisions. Secondly, they don't deserve to be given crappy information. You can't possibly give them anything to support them when the plan hasn't even been fully hatched yet. Giving people a heads up is wrong. It's like a doctor speculating with us about having cancer, and they've not run any tests yet to confirm it. That's just cruel. I know you mean well, but number three, you cannot blame your boss. You have a regular meeting with your boss. Boss has made some suggestions. Okay, maybe they've even made some strong suggestions regarding one member of your team, or maybe various members of your team. So at your next staff meeting, you lay into your team telling them all about how your boss said this and your boss said that. And you think you're just being candid and open, and instead you're being selfish and arrogant. You're an idiot. And you're deflecting. You're blaming the boss in hopes that your team won't think it's you who are trying to elevate their performance. It's your boss who's dissatisfied. It's not you. You're in this with them. I mean, if it were up to you, you'd be happy. Blah, blah, blah. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, when you read it or when you hear me say it? Well, too bad it didn't sound as ridiculous when you told your team. And now it's like toothpaste that we squeeze from the tube. You can't put it back. It's done now. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some mojo in your leadership, because here's what you don't know. When you do that, your team is losing respect for you. I know you mean well, but number four, you cannot point fingers. This can be private and one-on-one meetings, or it may be in a more public staff meeting. It's interesting to me how often this happens when the person being targeted is not in the room. Well, that last campaign had some difficulties, and Sam knows he should have handled a few things better. Meanwhile, Sam's not even in the building, and the leader has just pointed a finger at Sam, and maybe Sam was at fault, but this is TMI and it's poor leadership. A better option, if indeed Sam's campaign was a talking point, would be for the leader to say, Sam isn't here, but I'll let you guys know that he deserved more support from me in that last campaign. And he and I have talked, and we're both going to make sure that we do a better job of it next time. Well, now that's a completely different message, and it's going to make a big difference in how the room sees your leadership. He'll throw Sam under the bus, but he'd never do that to me, right? See, this is where leaders lose their mind in thinking that TMI won't hurt them, because only an idiot would think that they're immune from you pointing a finger at them or throwing them under the bus if they see you do it to other people. And pointing a finger is throwing people under the bus, by the way. I sometimes get in that discussion about, well, I didn't throw him under the bus. Listen, you pointed your finger at them, you threw them under the bus. You don't think so, but your people do. I know you mean well, but number five, you cannot take it out on your people. I've sat in meetings with people and discussed the meeting privately, So a meeting happens. I'm in the meeting. I'm either observing or whatever. And so you've got the leader, you, and maybe your subordinates and direct reports. And I will meet with people privately then after the fact. And the leader sometimes will view the meeting, well, that meeting went real well, and they'll characterize the meeting in all these positive ways. And then I can go and I can talk to some of the direct reports, and they'll go, boy, he was sure grumpy today. Same exact meeting, two completely different viewpoints. The leader felt like the meeting went well, completely unaware that his foul mood had permeated the meeting. Well, that flat tire that he got on the way to work, it came into the meeting. Oh, he didn't talk about the flat tire, but his nerves were frayed. He was frustrated. He got off on a bad foot, and now he unknowingly, he barked a little bit more than normal. Kind of been snappy all morning. The staff has spent all morning trying to figure out why and what they can do to stay out of harm's way. And so everybody's got their head down and they're not making eye contact. The lost man hours that you could stack up because a leader got a flat tire on the way to work and took it out on his staff, and because he lacked the discipline to protect the work and his people from his own issues, whether they're professional or personal, I don't care. Doesn't matter. Poor leadership. Now, I can't possibly review all the possibilities. I mean, these are only five scenarios, but hopefully by now you have an idea about the negative power of TMI. But before I end, let me address one final item that I think is a big part of this. Leaders sometimes think they're helping employees with a bit of inside information. So in the quest to let an employee feel closer to the boss, sometimes that's you, sometimes leaders will draw employees into their confidence. Now, I'm not talking about a person who may be in your true inner circle who is vital to the decision-making process. I'm talking about a person who has no need for TMI, a person whose work, and their head, by the way, might be hampered with TMI. So I want to be clear about this. I'm talking about you sharing information with a person who is not going to make this decision. They are not going to be contributing to making this decision. Now, I'm going to challenge you to consider why you're telling an employee this information. Why? If you're telling them in order to make them feel more like an insider, don't. There are far more effective ways to accomplish that. Well, namely, by talking with them one-on-one and telling them how important they are to your team, telling them how valuable their contribution is to the effort, and how you'd like to put a bit more responsibility on them. Now, isn't that going to leave them feeling better than pulling them aside and trying to confide some secret thing to them? Okay, then do that. Don't use TMI. Think before you speak. Think before you act. Next time, in our next session, I'm going to talk a bit more about serving your people, because it's an important message that just cannot be emphasized too much. And I think it's a fitting way to end today's session by reminding you that your job as a leader is to help your people do the best work possible. And that means you have to guard the information you share with them. See you next time.